It's time for our monthly catch-up with Tristan Parker from eAccess Bulletin. The free monthly publication looks at accessible and assistive technology. It's got readers' questions and in-depth interviews as well. And we take a look at the most current version. If you haven't received it yourself, then we do encourage you to sign up. We'll give you contact details towards the end. But for the moment, Tristan, thank you for joining us.
Hi, Alan. Yep, good to be here.
Now, we've got a few things we're going to chat through today. Five topics to get through, in fact. So let's crack on. The first two actually are really futuristic. I know we talk about technology, but this the first two articles anyway, quite futuristic and sci-fi, if you ask me. But Microsoft are doing a lot more work with artificial intelligence.
They've just recently launched a project called AI for Accessibility. It's very heavily funded. It's been funded by $25 million from Microsoft. So they're obviously really pushing this. Very basically, it's a new program where Microsoft are going to be funding developers, universities, NGOs to build new AI tools, services that can help people with disabilities. It's just at the very sort of beginning stage, but basically Microsoft have said that they kind of want these products and services that are being developed to help in three areas across employment, modern life, and what they call human connection. For example, in a blog post announcing the project, Microsoft President Brad Smith wrote about how the project is going to sort of accelerate the development of AI across the world and various products and solutions that could really benefit people. So yeah, it's very much kind of a funding and sort of development program, but obviously Microsoft are very well placed to do that. And so when ideas come to them through this project, they're then going to help and sort of nurture these ideas and give people access to their artificial intelligence team. So it's just really a case of waiting to see what comes up. But I think it could bring up some very, very interesting projects.
Amazing. With their experience, their skills, their technology, and money as well, the important part there, it's $25 yeah. million. Dollars. Now, this next one, talking of future again, this again sounds to me like something out of a sci-fi film, but we're going to be chatting a little bit about car windows that can help people see more.
It very much does sound like something from a sci-fi film. You're not wrong at all. This is a car window that's been developed by Ford. They're calling it a smart car window, and the actual name for the project is Feel the View. And what Ford are claiming is that this smart window can actually help people with a visual impairment inside the car. It can help them actually see the view outside the car. So what they mean by that is the smart window essentially takes photos of what's happening outside the car, turned into what Ford are calling high contrast monochrome images. The images are reproduced on the glass in the inside of the car window using tiny LEDs. And then when passengers inside the car touch this image, parts of it vibrate at different intensities, which apparently allows the passengers to kind of build up a picture of what's outside. Obviously, this is still very much a prototype, it's still being developed, and I don't think you're going to see it on any number of cars anytime soon. But it's interesting, and I suppose kind of hats off to Ford for investing in this and putting some research into it. But again, it's going to be an interesting one to watch.
Indeed, sort of almost like haptics then in the glass, and you can run your hand along and kind of feel the shape of what's
That's
outside.
Right.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the real good implications that it could have, apart from just, you know, oh, there's a tree or something else.
Yeah.
Does it move as the car moves as well? right, okay. Let's carry on then, back down to earth a little bit more at the moment. We're looking at Thomas Pocklington Trust. The charity's produced more information on lighting.
It's to do with lighting in and around the home for people with sight loss. And it sort of aims to just help people improve the lighting in their homes and increase their independence, that kind of thing. So this updated version has kind of really come about because just with how fast technology moves these days, obviously there are huge advances in it. And that technology also has affected lighting and how lighting systems work. So part of the guide focuses on things like LEDs, light emitting diodes, which have obviously become very popular, and various forms of assistive technology that can make lighting setups a bit more inclusive for people with sight loss. So that's things like counter lights, for example, which are very simple, but they can help illuminate a sort of a larger surface a bit more fully rather than some traditional lights, which might just light up a small area. An increasing number of people are choosing to control their lighting systems via smartphones and tablet computers.
Absolutely. I use the heating one myself on my smartphone, and it's great sort of being able to do it, and I've linked it up to the Amazon Echo as well, so I can talk to it and adjust the heating that way. And yeah, you can do that with lights, and you know, as you say, with the smart lighting now, you can dim lights, you get different shades of light now, different colours. It's limitless almost. And we're going to look back just a little bit actually at a Global Awareness Day.
We have a feature in the current issue from a guest contributor, a writer called Mel Pollock. So Mel has rounded up some of the events that took place for Global Accessibility Awareness Day. It's an annual event which celebrates digital accessibility and raises awareness about it. And so by digital accessibility, I just mean making digital services and products usable for everyone, people with an impairment or a disability, older people, everyone really. So a big part of that is making websites and online information more accessible. For Global Accessibility Awareness Day, there are all kinds of events and webinars and sort of online activity taking place to pass on the message. And Mel has rounded up some of these things in a feature. And just to reel off a couple very quickly, Apple expanded a coding project to schools for blind and deaf communities. There's a new adaptive Xbox controller that's being launched so that people with mobility impairments can play more Xbox games. There was a lot of activity on Twitter with people sharing perhaps issues they may have faced about digital accessibility or useful resources, that kind of thing. And Mel also spoke to the co-founder of the day, Joe Devon, who talks about why the event has become so big, because it's become a bit of a phenomenon in recent years.
Okay, we've got time for one more, Tristan.
So we have a reader query in the current issue as well, Brian Gaff, and he got in touch about a feature from the last issue, which was on smart home technology. So that feature looked at the report, which talked about different types of assistive technology around the home to help older people remain in their home for longer. So Brian, the reader, gets in touch to comment on some of the technology that could be used in the home to help blind and visually impaired people. What is very urgently needed is for appliance makers to stop producing touchscreen items that blind people cannot use. At the very least, these either need to talk, have buttons and switches as before, or maybe integrate with all the common home assistants so that everyone can use them. Some very good points there. And if anyone has any further comments on the topic, add to the discussion, then please do get in touch.
I hear them. I bought some new products for the kitchen, and we wanted a new dishwasher and washing machine and so on. And the dishwasher and the washing machine, because of the make that we wanted, the, you know, good quality make, the touch. So it's a good excuse for me to say, no, I can't do the washing or the dishwasher. You have to sort that yourself. But I get where he's coming from. And as Tristan says, you know, you can take part in the bulletin. You're not just reading stories. You can ask questions. You can help answer questions as well. The bulletin is free, Tristan. So if people would like to learn more about it or sign up, how do they do that?
Yes, it's completely free. It's just a once monthly email. And you can sign up at this web address, which doesn't have a www in front of it. So the address is just lists.headstar.com. We also publish a lot of the content on our website, and that is accessible at www.headstar.com/EABLive. We're on Twitter, and our handle is at eAccessBulletin. And if anyone wants to get in touch directly or ask a question or has a comment, please do. And the email address is eaccessbulletin@gmail.com.
Tristan, great to hear from you once again. We'll catch up with you again in July to learn more about the next bulletin. But thank you for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Great. Thanks a lot, Alan.